Praise God. Well, I'm so excited I could be here with you today. Thank you. Like Dr. Nixon said, we're here in Providence to attend the Asia Theological Association because Every Nation Seminary, we're seeking accreditation. We want it to be a global seminary. And incidentally, the weekend is your 17th anniversary. I don't know if you adjusted it a few weeks for us, but we are nonetheless tremendously privileged. That's the external purpose. The internal purpose, of course, I wish I'd shown you the picture, but we did have we got it yesterday. The durian eating after the lunch. I know it's not seasoned, but we got it even for such a very expensive price. So I like durian, but my wife is on the not like level, on the addiction level. So she really likes. So we both love durian. And so it's really good to see all of you visiting the church here. Encourage me so much. I want to honor Pastor Jonathan and, of course, his wife, Mio. I hope I said it right. But, you know, you don't have a congregation like this without being a man that's totally dependent on God. This requires a lot of hard work. And looking at your lives, the excellence that you embody, the godliness. Sure, our lives are not perfect. We're all work in progress. But there's so much faith, so much excellence that I see here. And as you continue to keep, we may not be perfect, but as we continue to love each other, like Scripture says, the greatest command of God is to love Him with all our hearts. The second greatest commandment is to love each other. We have seen the onslaught, the politicizing, the partisanship that's hitting churches, that's dividing churches. If we just continue to not build our kingdom, but to build and strive to build the kingdom of God, let me tell you, that just like Genesis 11:6, I know it's a picture of the building of the Tower of Babel. It is a picture of rebellion, of stepping outside the will of God. But if we do exactly what God desires for us to do, He said this, then nothing, if as one people, He said, you speak the same language, and you have begun to embark to do what God tells you to do together, then nothing you plan to do will be impossible. And so I just wanted to commend you for, I know that you are having so much fun, so much food, so much blessing, so much favor, but I could sense deep down inside every one of you, your love for Jesus. There is a seriousness, and that's what Christianity is all about. It's not about being too serious, having long faces, learning to enjoy life, but yet deep down inside of us, there is a desire to live for the glory and the honor of God. There is a desire that our families reflect the honor and glory of God. There is a desire that the up-and-coming generation in our homes and the people we influence have a desire to bring honor and glory to God. That is what it is all about. I know 17 years is not so much a landmark year. Landmark years are 20, 25, 30. But nonetheless, we can never thank God enough for 17 years of His awesome faithfulness. Amen? Every year is so valuable to God. Every day. The Bible says, learn to redeem your days because the days are evil. When I gave my life to Jesus, in 1984, that's a lot of years, 37 years, I gave it all to Jesus. And I cannot remember a day where I had backslidden. Like I said, I'm not a perfect person, but just like the command of God, to love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I gave my life. There's not a single day I've ever regretted serving Jesus. And I felt like I've redeemed every single day for God all those years. I spoke this 15 years ago, 10 years ago, that even if the Lord took me 10 years ago, I felt like I have lived a full life because I redeem every bit of day that He gives me. It's not just years, but every day. 17 years of walking and growing with God. Isn't that incredible? It's an opportunity. Even through difficult times, we grow. That's why the Apostle James said, consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds. Because, you know, even the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. It produces character, produces maturity in our lives. So we thank God for both the good times and the challenging times of our lives, because in both of those seasons, the Lord matures us. The Lord grows us up. 17 years of His abundant grace and goodness. 17 years of abiding and bearing fruit. This year, our theme for this year is about abiding in Christ. Man, it's not just about head knowledge. It's about walking with Jesus like Enoch. That is what a relationship, this is not religion. Religion is a superficial piety where we come and do our religious service. But we could say we are a friend of God. We walk with Jesus. We have a relationship. We're aware of His presence. Whatever it is we do, whether you're fixing a car, washing clothes, taking a bath, you're aware of the presence of God. Because you walk with it. It's a walk. It's a relationship. Some dread the thought of one day, I'll stand before God. Will I make it? You could be certain, as this podium is here, that is how sure you would be. Because this is about a relationship. Matthew 7:21 says that everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In that day, many will say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, we drive out demons, we perform many miracles. And the Lord will simply tell them on that day, I never knew you. But I'll tell you this, when we have a relationship with God, there is nothing to fear. But everything is about looking forward to that day when we will be with Jesus. From the words of the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. So whether we live or we die, but better we still live because there's still lots of things to do. But it is never a loss. What either way, we win in Christ. Isn't that a beautiful life? Hallelujah. And of course, 17 years of honoring God and making disciples. Do you know that last part there? That is the greatest commandment of God. To honor God is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to make disciples is to love your neighbor. When he was restoring Peter, what did he say? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Take care of my lambs. That's what he said. You want to show you love God? It's more than just verbalizing and emoting and speaking and saying, I love you, Jesus. The way you show your love for God is love your neighbor. Serve them. And there is no greater legacy in this life that you could do than impacting someone's life for Jesus. I don't want to be known as a man who write a book, passionate preacher, travel all over the world, eat a lot of durian. I want to be known as a man who has touched people's lives. Because at the end of the day, Jesus did not die for programs. He did not die for activities. He died for people. And if you invest your life on people, that is the greatest legacy we have. Amen. So I pray that you will always be conscious. It's not just about you and your relationship with God and your salvation and the blessings of God in your life, but it is about lives that you touch for Jesus. Like, remember that quote I ended up yesterday? If you impact just but one life in your entire lifetime, your life would have mattered for all of eternity. Because that one soul is valuable to God. You impact one life, you impact an entire generation of people. So much so that heaven rejoices just even over one person. Quick, this is my family. I didn't have a chance to show this yesterday, but since there's more of you. So this is my wife for 33 years. Beside me, Gigi, she's not a dentist. I know you call Dr. Gigi. Here, she's just my wife, Gigi, okay? And God has been very gracious to us. Just 2 days after you finish the cohort in Manila, I've never really said this so much, but just maybe to give glory to God. I was on my way to Baguio because I was speaking at a national conference. 2 years of lockdown, no conference. So you imagine, this is a Body of Christ conference. People are so excited for this. And so it was raining heavily. Anyway, I driving through the highway, I went hydro. My car went hydro. And it just slid. And I was actually going to go the other side. That would have fatally killed us. But by the grace of God, I veered my car a little bit, and it is a heavy SUV car, but boom, I flew on the rail of the highway. I don't know how high, maybe 10 to 15 feet. My car rolled 5 times like this with my wife. I'm so glad that when it stopped, we were strewn so far, but by the time it stopped, I'm glad it was upright, not sideways, not opposite. We were shocked. And my car, it's not that new. It's 2018 car, but none of the airbags deployed. But thankfully, not a single scratch, no bruise, no nothing. God protected us. That would have been it. But by the grace of God, God spared our lives. So my wife and I are enjoying. We're building a little farmhouse now. So we are right in the middle of it and just really being grateful to God for every bit of life that He has given us. My son, John Daniel, here, I'm just really, truly, I could never ask for more. They truly love Jesus and also a great influence among their friends. My daughter, and then my son-in-law, a new addition to our family. Before I left for Israel about a month ago, they gave us the news that she's finally 10 weeks on the way. In the Philippines, we have this, the key word for grandchild is apo. Apo. So we always say, I am not apostolic because I don't have a grandchild yet. So this is going to validate my ministry as the real apostle. Well, others have a lot of apo. So, praise God. Yeah, I thought because Pastor Jonathan is in the first cohort, that in itself will go down in history as a really very important a milestone for every nation. It's a global initiative. Although this is based in Manila, this is global. We have not done anything like this ever before. I've been to regional conference, and it's amazing, but this is unlike anything. And your pastor is the first in all of Malaysia to be part of our global. This is amazing. It's beyond words. And so I'm just grateful to God for this. Let me just walk you through the purpose of this, to honor God and to serve every nation, churches, and ministry by forming Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible leaders in every nation. That is the goal. And this is the first batch. You can see there, Pastor Jonathan, in the first cohort of 32 leaders from 17 nations. And this is the second cohort of leaders from all over the world. We've added 10 more new nations, bringing us to a total of 64 students from 27. Nations. And now, in November 1, the application for the third cohort will start because it's 3-year. So they will all come. Imagine what this will look like with 100 leaders coming together from all the every nation world. It is my prayer there's always somebody from Malaysia representing every cohort. Praise God. So I look forward to the day when some of you will be part of ENS. This is our executive team. If you notice, me there serving as president, of course. The mega mind, the dean of administration. It raises our IQ together because of Dr. Nixon right there. And of course, we are simply, right now we're just offering Master of Arts in Theology and Mission. But this is not just any biblical teaching. We filter every course from our 4 educational core values because this is who we are. We are an apostolic movement, apostolic leadership, biblical preaching, that's why there is coaching. There is then there is relational discipleship, and then we have global mission. And every student, part of our mentor program, every student, there's 3 coaches. There is a preaching coach, that's why Dr. Nixon served as a preaching coach for Pastor Jonathan, and now he's the one teaching him. And we have a faculty advisor. And then we have a ministry mentor. Each has a very specific role. So each student, somebody is walking them through, which makes this program really incredible. We celebrate a global faculty of amazing, amazing leaders that God put together, some of the finest leaders from all across the world teaching at our seminary, and we have a group more. I think there's a people more getting into more doctoral programs, because as we add another cohort, we need more of these. The unique thing about our global leaders is not that this is unique. You will never find a seminary like this anywhere in the world where 99% of our professors have at least 15 years of ministry experience current. They are not past pastors. They are leading large churches. So they are not only credentialed with doctorate degrees, but they are actively leading churches, which their decades of ministry experience will be very valuable to all of our students. So this is our faculty retreat to continue to really encourage greater cohesion, collaboration. This is our recent one in Nashville. And then, of course, aside from the academics, our daily chapel service has been so incredible. It's very spiritual, highly spiritually formative experience where students would have a time daily, solitude, spending time with God that leads to worship. And then we have after the worship, we have a country report. And then we have prayer for the nation, 1 a.m, 2 p.m. That's every day. And then the global diversity of our students. Wow, incredible. Iran, for example, so you could see Canada, this is from Uganda, Canada, Myanmar, Poland, Peru. These two are from Peru. So, like I said, 27 nations represented in this cohort. And of course, the synergy, the relationships, the faith. So this is just our lobby there, our building, to incredible facilities. And it's really conducive for our leaders to be able to come together. Praise God. Amen. So, like I said, please check us out. If you want to know, go to www.everynationseminary.org. Today, I will be speaking to you on the subject, building wisely. Building wisely. We want to talk about the importance and the value of careful and wise building. I don't know if you're aware of this, but each and every single one of us is engaged in building, whether you like it or not. If you are married, you are building that relationship with your spouse. If you have children, you don't just thank God that you have kids. It's deliberate. It's intentional. Train up a child in the way they should go. You don't have to spy on them later and keep watching them, what they're doing, because you have put enough deposit. Now you're releasing to the world. Sure, they'll make their own mistakes. But I'll tell you, when they learn how to call on the name of God, they know how to pray to the Lord, they will face this world bravely, maturely, and they will be strong in their generation. So we are all building our relationships with one another. We are building with our leaders. We are building with our ministries. We are building with the church. How many churches have imploded? How many churches have split? Victory, since we started in 1984, we have some of the most brilliant leaders. The top university we have is University of the Philippines. We probably have a good 50 of these pastors. Dr. Nixon come from one of the top universities in the Philippines. There's a good maybe 30, 40 of them from this university that are our pastors. So we have some of the finest. We have about 800 ordained leaders, both pastors and campus missionaries and cross-cultural missionaries. After 5 years, if this group of people are still together, young, dynamic, highly opinionated, notwithstanding good looks, I just point to Dr. Nixon. It's a miracle that after 5 years, they're still walking together. That would be amazing. We have been walking together for 37 years, and we have zero split. Tell me if that we're just being lucky. If you put together two great leaders, crazy, five great leaders or 10 great leaders in one church, pretty soon they'll start their own. That did not happen in our context. Why is that? Careful building. Marriages, there's always a second chance when you have a broken marriage, but marriages don't have to break up in the first place. If you're in a second marriage and God is blessing it, you're moving, move on with your life, praise God. God is a God of second chance. But it doesn't have to end like that if you do it right. Like myself, when I gave my life to Jesus, I'd never backslidden because good foundation was laid in my life. I was not a self-made leader. People laid good foundation when they discipled me. They taught me that I make blunders and mistakes, absolutely, but I never left the Lord. I walked with God. I matured in the process in both the blessings and the disciplines of the Lord. This is what life should be. Our text today, 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I lay the foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord bless the reading as well as the exposition of his word. As I said earlier, everyone is engaged in building, whether you like it or not. So the only issue is, are we a poor builder, a wise builder, a foolish builder, a thoughtless builder, a destructive builder, or a wise and careful builder? And I pray today that as we will be done with this message, I pray you come away with this, really making a commitment, Lord, help me to be a wise, careful builder that will not depart from the core foundation, which is Jesus Christ. According to Luke 6:48, can you imagine? We never even talked with Dr. Nixon, but that was the verse he exhorted you with. According to this verse, a wise man builds his house on the rock. You and I know that the rock is Jesus Christ. It says, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep, laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house, could not shake it because it had been well built. You're talking about same budget house, probably the same design. The only issue, there are two issues. One, just because it looks the same, what's behind the paint? The quality, the material that was used, and the foundation. Where was that placed? A foolish man builds his house on the sand. It's shifting. So even though the house looks great, same as the other house that you see, exactly a copycat, but one will crash when tested by life's challenges. Storms, tsunamis, earthquakes, hurricanes, typhoons. It will stand because it was well built and it is built on the rock. You know, we wish we will all have a storm-free life, but we have no control. Philippines, you are blessed. You are the most blessed. We are totally complete extremes. Penang is probably one of the safest places on the planet. But Philippines, we will have 16 to 18 typhoons a year. That's just a way of life along with that earthquakes. We don't have a choice about this. We are not a storm-free nation, but we can be a storm-proof nation. We may not have a storm-free life, but we can have a storm-proof life. We have no control what disasters will come our way, but when they come, it's okay because we have Jesus. Our life is built on the rock. The many challenges of life will test that foundation. To build, in the Greek, is called oikodomio, to edify. It means to build up. Every time you edify, you encourage, you strengthen, you uplift, you are building. But it also means not just encouraging, but it also means to establish. When you're doing a firm foundation, when you're doing one-to-one, you are establishing, you are molding, you are forming. You are not just encouraging, you are shaping people into the image of Christ. So it carries that dual function. In other words, we're not only here to encourage and make people feel good about themselves, and that's great, but we also need to fashion them, to form them into the image of Christ through teaching the word, training, mentoring, and serving also as an example to people. So to build is so rich. And to build is a command of God. Each of us is called by God to build wisely. Not just your mom and dad, not just your brother, not just your discipler. Every single one of us, no matter how young or old we are called to build. Romans 15:1 says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. Not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. You could never be a builder if you are self-centered, selfish, or you only think about yourself. That's why when it comes to our families, we have to be mindful. How do we build up and edify? How do we spur them on to greatness? How should we encourage them to aspire to become everything God wanted them to be? 1 Corinthians 14:12, so with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. I think NIV says, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. How many of you want to be blessed by God with just lots of talents and abilities? It's not just for our own, you know, self-image and ego. God bless us so we could be a blessing. Use whatever gifts God give you to serve others. Not just for you to keep, not just for you to make yourself look good. 2 Corinthians 10:8, for even if I boast a little too much of authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be ashamed. Every authority, every platform God gives you, every influence, do not use it to tear people down. Use it to build people up. The authority God gave us is to be used. That's why we are called servant leaders. In a way, I know I mentioned this yesterday, we have been given so much honor, especially when you're a speaker, they introduce you well, this and that, but at the end of the day, we are servants. When Jesus modeled what it means to lead with his fledging, upcoming leaders who will change the world, he washed their feet. In a Jewish home, there are many servants. There are servants that cook, wash dishes, wash clothes, iron clothes. But the lowest form of a servant, maybe the lowest paid servant, is one who washed people's feet. They didn't have sophisticated robes or shoes like we do today, so their feet will always be filled with dust. So when they enter a house, you sit on a chair while they wash your feet. That is what brings. It's not a ceremony. It's a real deal. That's the practice. And Jesus took the lowest form of serving, and he said, just as I have done this to you, do this to others as well. To build them up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Sometimes when you are selfish, you always think about yourself, your struggles. I know young people, especially this pandemic, really went through, I will not use the word hell, but it's difficult. Lots of them have mental health challenges. Difficult, very difficult for them. Especially because they're so used to hanging around with friends and interacting. And sometimes media, even though they're media savvy, doesn't help. Just because all kind of trash and garbage are there as well. They're being algorized and fed by all kinds of news that triggers a lot of emotions and frustrations at the same time. We are called to build one another up, especially next generation leaders. You know, the greatest investment we could do is to build people. Systems, buildings, machines, they'll all deteriorate. They'll all be outdated. You thought you have the latest when you had iPhone 13. Now iPhone 14 is coming out again. For those of us who are called followers, sorry. But people can grow, can develop, can become productive, and reach their highest potentials in God. The greatest resource are human resource. Thank God for technology and machines. Thank God for AI. Thank God for technology. But humans are irreplaceable. Let me tell you this, just maybe speaking to some of you. If you struggle a little bit of insecurity and significance, maybe your education is not that much, maybe you're embarrassed to speak in public, let me tell you. The same Holy Spirit that lives in Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Dr. Nixon, lives inside of you too. You are created in the very image of God, and God's Spirit lives in you if you are a believer. I want to remind you, you don't have an immature, struggling baby Holy Spirit that's still trying to grow. You have the full manifestation of the Spirit of God. You have the authority of God inside of you. But you need to rise up in faith. Amen? Amen. You are not defined by how educated you are. Your value has nothing to do with how much money you have in the bank. You are valuable to God, period. Because you are made in the image of God. And don't let media define, or let this world or Hollywood define who you are. Amen? There is no one like you on the face of this earth. You are unique. You are special. And God placed a divine destiny in your life that makes you valuable, beautiful, important in the eyes of God. So what do you do? Lord, what is your purpose for my life? Help me to serve that purpose, because that is where you find your sense of significance. Walking with Jesus, serving God's purpose for your life. Our goal is to help people grow into spiritual leadership by nurturing, building through discipleship and leadership development. So let me share with you quickly. So far I'm done with my introduction, so let me go right to the message. Pastor Nixon, we'll be finished when? Tomorrow? Before lunch? Before lunch, okay. Four insights how to build wisely. Based from that text. First, remember this, that the true builder is God. We build. Some of you are tremendously wired to think critically, strategically. That's why some of you are so good in business. You are entrepreneur. You are creative. That's a gift. That's a grace of God on your life. But no matter how good we are, and we have a great team, and we can strategize, and men, profits after profits, and advances after advances coming into our lives, don't make the mistake to exclude God out of that equation. Because it is God who gives you the ability to make wealth. It is He who gives you the wisdom, the grace. Sure, you can operate outside of God, because God's gift is without repentance. He placed that in your life, that talent, He placed it. You can use it for evil if you wanted to, but there would be serious consequences. Don't you ever forget, oh, it's me, it's my cleverness, it's my hard work. Sure, it is your hard work. But unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. 1 Corinthians 3:7, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Today, planting and watering is a science. People get doctorate degrees just for doing this kind of stuff. Just being an expert on soil. But do not forget, only the Lord brings the growth. Amen? Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Matthew 16:18, remember what Jesus said to Peter? And on this rock, he said, I will build my church. If you're a pastor or leader, take that off of you, the pressure of having to build. You know what you need to do? You just need to focus on what He tells you to do. What did He tell you to do? Equip the saints for work of ministry. What did He tell you to do? Make disciples. I'll take care of building your church. That's not your job. My job, I will build it. But you equip people for ministry. You teach them to love God and love people. I'll take care of the building of the church. Hebrews 11:10, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. The Apostle Paul exhorts us to guard the good deposit. That means to be very careful. What has been entrusted to you, the vision, the mission. For us, whether you like it or not, young or old, we have been given by God a stewardship for the next generation. We're not the only ministry, but we will give an account to God for how we raise next generation. So sometimes some of you that are senior like myself, I'm 60 years old. Last night at dinner time, we were talking about how privileged it is to be a senior in the Philippines. Free parking, discount on food, you know, all first in the line in immigration, in any kind of government office, you are put in front. Even IKEA. To eat, you'll be there. The line is 2 hours long, but they'll put you in front. So regardless if we're seniors, we have to love next generation. If you don't like loud music, because this is the language and what they do, we have to learn to embrace the things that would help them. Amen? We value the next generation together because as every nation, this is our stewardship. Our stewardship to reach and mold and develop, affirm, equip, release next generation. Hebrews 3:4, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Never make a mistake of thinking that it is your ability. Sure, it's your hard work. Sure, it's your idea. Sure, but remember it is God who gives us the ability to make wealth. Second, under these points, there are three sub-points. That's how I trick you, to add so many more points. It is foolish to build on personalities. Few verses before this, for when one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. In all of my life, I have never been, ever been awestruck. What do you call that celebrity? When you're around a celebrity? Starstruck. Of course, you rejoice, you're happy for them. Maybe it's just my personality, but I have never been. It doesn't matter how great they are, they're human beings just like myself. I would never position myself, leverage myself. I've discipled senators. I've discipled all kinds of powerful people. I have pictures with presidents. But I've never been, if I was asked to. And I've discipled a senator in the Philippines for like, I don't know, maybe 10 years. Powerful leader. There is never a single time that I ever took a selfie picture with them. Just to make a statement. They took a lot of pictures, selfie pictures with me. But never me taking a selfie picture with them. It's just a statement I make that I'm a man of God and I'm here to serve in a spiritual capacity. Not to socialize. I mean, we're friends. We went out together, shoot. They teach us how to shoot. They teach us many things. Survival. It's fun. Pastor Nixon is with us on many of those occasions. We had fun. I'm so intense, so he has to bring the comic relief and make the tension kind of go down a bit. As servants, we point our job is to point people to Christ, not ourselves. We can put our hope in man. You know this scripture, Psalm 118:8. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Every election, of course, we decide who we prefer to support. And some people would go crazy supporting certain candidates to the extent that if somebody said anything critical, they would unfriend them in the Facebook. They would fight over them. Let's thank God for these humans. And they may be great leader, but put your loyalty to Jesus. These are human beings, and at a certain point, they will disappoint you. So, great, pray for your leaders as the scripture commands us, but do not have blind loyalties or divisive loyalty. That's the word. Psalm 146:3, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. Psalm 108, verse 12, oh, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. I hope we learn from that. There are many other scriptures that could cross-reference this idea. Next, we do our part seriously and faithfully. Though God is a true builder, we don't just sit around, oh, God is going to build anyway. No, we still need to give an account for the way we build. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. Each will receive his wages according to his labor. We are a team. No room for pride or divisive loyalty. So this is what we teach our pastors. Why have we walked together all these years? How could strong, powerful, young, dynamic, highly opinionated leaders still walk together? Because from day one we train them. Apart from Christ, number one, we are nothing. The moment we start thinking, oh, we have this great church. Oh, we have this many services. I've done this so many times. I'm good at this. That would be the start of our downfall. We better walk circumspectly that every day We walk humbly no matter how much success you have. In fact, here's a lesson for success. The greater success you have, the deeper your sense of brokenness and humility should be. That's the only safeguard. God resists the proud. So here's what we teach our leaders. We are brothers and sisters. We have one common enemy. Let's not use our gifts and implements to fight each other, but let's lock arms, move forward together in unity to serve the purpose of God for His glory. And that's what we've done through these years. We leverage on each other, celebrate on each other's strengths. I told you yesterday, he wasn't around when Pastor Nixon stepped out, but truly, I could not imagine what every nation Philippines would look like without the presence of Pastor Nixon. His critical thinking, the gift that God has placed on this man, has blessed our entire movement. Exceptional leader, brilliant. And he's using it to serve us all. Because we're a team. I don't have to be insecure around him. What we do, aren't you glad that if you can sing, you have a friend who can? Right? If you cannot preach so well, aren't you glad one of your best friends is one of the best preachers in the world? We rejoice in each other's strengths, and it's vice versa. We rejoice in each other's company. Third, we are God's fellow workers, God's field, God's building. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We are not workers for God, but we are workers who belong to God. Sometimes we have this mentality, I'm here to serve God, as if God needed us. No, He gives us the privilege to join Him in His work. We are not working for God. We belong to God. In the first place, that's relationship. When God calls His disciples, what did He do? He called His apostles first to Him before He commissioned them to do the work. To God, your relationship with Him is most important. This is why when we work with people, sometimes we end up using people. Because the focus is about work. We use people as the means to achieve the end, the work. We should use our work to achieve the end, which is to build people up. We don't use people. We build people. Amen? Second point, finally. God gives us grace to become builders. There's no more sub-points here. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, given to me like a skilled master builder, I lay the foundation. Someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. The word master builder is derived from the word architecton, where we get the words architect. An expert builder. I don't know here in Malaysia. But in the Philippines, it's crazy, man. It's not just about finishing architecture, but you have to serve a many number of years to qualify you to just even get a license. You have to take a board exam after serving your architectural, you have the schooling, you have the internship, and then you have the board exam, then you are an architect. It's crazy. We're in the middle of building. I have no clue. I mean, I've always been a builder, but just the process of building a house. Four signatures, architectural, structural, electrical, plumbing. And then, of course, that had to be approved by the city hall, who have their own set of architectural and and structural and electrical. They will look at it before they affix their signature, because it's their integrity. It's their name. They affix their signature to say, this is solid. We have to be wise builders. But here in this verse, there is a balance between grace and expert building. Because we could go both extreme. Let me explain. Paul said, by the grace God has given me. In other words, we could never outgrow dependence on God. No matter how good we have become, no matter what degree we have achieved, no matter how many experiences we've done, hey, don't wing it. Rely on the grace of God every single day. In this context, grace is, I know grace is undeserved favor, but in this context, it's enabling power. It's enabling grace. When God calls you to do something, He never does it by your ability. He gives you the grace to do it. But in the next breath, it sounds, almost a dichotomy when He said, skilled. I thought it was grace, but what about skilled building? It is both. Just because you rely on the grace of God doesn't mean you do not upgrade yourself. If you're an usher, you better be the best usher. Amen. At least strive to be. If you're a kids' church teacher, strive to be the best kids' teacher. Every one of us excel. Not just to be good, not just to be better, but to be the best of what it is, whatever it is God called us to do. So it's both. Here's the extremes. Grace, grace, grace. Lord Jesus, apart from me, you're nothing. Grace is grace. But you never develop your skill. So here's what happened. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength, more striving, more effort is needed, but skill will bring success. Have you ever worked hard? Too much labor, too much work, not seen much fruit? Could it be that you are an unsharpened axe? Sometimes we make a joke about purpose. We say, you're like an unsharpened pencil. Why is that? There's no point. There's no point to your life. So, but if you're sharp, so here's the other extreme. You go take courses, man, you have this degree, you have a platform, now you become so good, but you become arrogant because you are never dependent on the grace of God. Those two need to come together. Why should a doctor spend 10 years to gain his doctorate and we, who is in the business of saving souls, will just spend 3 weeks for a ministry school? We should never stop growing to become the best at what God called us to be. It's a stewardship. And this is the business of God. We better be the best at it. Best discipler. Amen? Number three, we must build on the right foundations. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I might have not deleted that word upon it, so that it must not be there. Jesus alone is our true foundation. Now let me explain this a little bit, because Pastor Dr. Nixon kind of shared a little bit of that insight from Luke 6. I'll look at that shortly. But when we speak about Jesus being the right foundation, the modern word we use today is Christ-centered. Christ-centered marriage. Christ-centered career, Christ-centered business. Even preaching, sometimes they call it Christ-centered preaching, Christ-centered worship. You know, in this ATA conference, these are supposed to be the most brilliant scholars. I am so conscious from devotion to every session. I like to ask myself, where is Jesus here? If Jesus is here, would he say these things? If Jesus is the Logos, the embodiment of the Word, should we not be talking about Jesus? You know, some people can preach a whole sermon without mentioning the name of Jesus. We could have an entire worship service and not even mention the only generic names of God, Almighty maybe. And I know that those are the root words we know means the same thing. But the name that is given above every name that had to be exalted in our midst. Then it's Spirit-empowered, because when Jesus left, he said, I do not leave you orphaned. Don't worry. You have the Holy Spirit with you. He's the comforter, the teacher. He will lead you into all truth. And if we want to build our lives with stability, we have to build on the authority of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, but we must each, every say each, be careful how we build, because Christ is the only foundation. Talking about the centrality of Christ, why should be Jesus centered? Center, left, right, everything around us. Why should he be preeminent in every aspect? Because there's no salvation given among men whereby man can be saved except the name of Jesus. He's the only true Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. He's the only mediator between God and man. Why? I mean, I cannot understand Philippines, especially being a religious and a very matriarchal Mariology. There is no greater woman that God called blessed than Mary. But yet the idea of having to skew the father because the father is stern. So let's go to the mother because she is kind-hearted. Did John 3:16 ever change for the mother so loved the world? No, it's the father who loved. And the image we are given is the prodigal, the parable of the prodigal. No, maybe wrong. Somebody say, it's not the parable of the prodigal son, it's the parable of a loving father. It's a picture. What is being portrayed there is God. For I decided to know nothing among you except Christ, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Colossians 1:18, He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and firstborn from the dead. In everything He might have preeminence. See, God's purpose in Jesus is by raising Him from the dead, by exalting Him and giving Him the name that is above every name, so that in everything He might have this supremacy. Question is Jesus preeminent? Not just in our church life, but is He in your private life? In your thought life, in your financial life, in your social life? What does Jesus say? Is Jesus visible even in your social accounts? Is there even a mention of Jesus? Or are you ashamed of Him in a social sites because maybe it's not relevant? You know, there's never been a time in our lives where we are given the greatest platform to influence. Just a social media, you have a voice. I pray part of that message that we share is Jesus. Christians need to center their lives on Jesus. Philippians 3:8, indeed I count everything as loss. Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may, in order that I may gain Christ. Two more thoughts, quick, super quick thoughts, and close. Lordship is very much tied to foundation. And the love is what balances the lordship. Because we cannot just be so intense, but it's really the love of Christ that continues to compel us. Foundation is directly tied to lordship. We don't have much time, but this was the verse. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Do you know the next verse? Immediately it explains the wise and foolish builder. Immediately. To make a comparison. The same thing with Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But then it talks about wise and foolish builders in the next breath. Then love is what keeps us. Those that are forgiven much. If you truly understand the gospel, you go crazy for Jesus. This is why Romans 12:1 says, in view of His kindness, goodness, grace, mercy, love, offer your bodies to God a living sacrifice. That is our most reasonable service or our act of worship. 1 John 4:9, we love because He first loved us. 2 Corinthians 5:4, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded that one died for all, therefore all have died, and He died for all that those who live, us, should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So, in closing, let me just close with this perspective as an encouragement and as an admonition for us. You're familiar with the book of Revelation. One of the messages to the churches was the church of Ephesus, where they were told about, remember the famous verse, I pray that you will have an understanding of how high and deep and wide is the love of God. Remember that? So this is a church. Take a look at the description of this church. I know your deeds, your hard work. Wow. This hardworking church. Perseverance. Cannot tolerate wicked men. You have tested those who claim to be apostles. In other words, this is a discerning church. You have persevered. You have endured hardship. You have not grown weary. Man, we should give a trophy to this church. This is an incredible on fire church. No nonsense church. But the next thing you see, yet I hold this against you, you have forsaken first love. How? How is that even possible? How could a church on fire, no tolerance for wickedness, and I love this, endured hardships for my name? Not for their name, for my name. How could this church be? You know what I learned from this? It's actually possible to work, 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 serve, 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 but it's not done out of love for Jesus. No wonder people burn out. When you are in love, you do crazy things. You're on adrenaline rush always. I'll just close with, just because this is the fourth point, we must build with the right materials, which we know are gold, silver, and then there's the stubble, the hay. All our works will be tested at the end of the day. I pray, let me see if I have, let me just skip this. I'll just Can you put the last slide, very last slide? I'll just conclude with that. It's a privilege to co-labor with God. But the value of our work will all be tested. I pray that it is done with the right motive, with the right heart. We should all be committed to become careful builders. As I've skipped those three. You could be either a wise builder. You build on the right materials, the right foundation. You could either be a foolish builder. You know what's another meaning of foolish? Thoughtless. Thoughtless. You know what thoughtless means? You cruise through life on autopilot. Just because you're a faithful provider to your family doesn't mean you're going to be a great husband or a great father. It's more than that. You have to love. You have to build. You have to plan. You have to cultivate. You have to plan your engagement with your children. Not just because you're a good provider, that they're happy, you give them the gadgets, you give them allowance. That's not enough. That's thoughtless. That's autopilot. You have to plan well. Church is the same thing. Just because you're preaching faithfully on Sunday, then the next thing you know, why is half of the church leaving? Why is this leader causing a rebellion? You're not a careful builder. You have to think wisely. The words you say, the affirmation, the strategic things that you do, you have to be 10 steps ahead so that you stop the work of the enemy from destroying you. And there's, of course, the destructive builders. Can I just say this? Because I feel like I need to say this one last point. You know, destructive builders, they couldn't care less about the body. They'll fight for their rights. Their ego is all over the place. It doesn't matter if 20 people were betrayed because of their gossip and this and that. They've caused people to stumble. It reminds me of these two women brought before Solomon. One woman rolled over his child and died. So he got the other child from another mother and replaced the baby. In the morning, they were arguing. This is my baby. No, that's my baby. So they were brought before Solomon. And Solomon said, okay, we'll resolve this. Which would you prefer? Do you want the feet side or the head side? Because we're about to cut this baby. The one who doesn't care will always say, go ahead, let's cut it. The other one, just the thought of killing this baby, never mind, I'd rather that this child lives, even if I lose all privileges. Solomon immediately knew this was the real mother. See, some people don't care. In destroying churches, bleeding churches, destroying lives, because it's their ego. Man, that's why Paul said, even though I have this right, but I would rather not. It's called the law of love, because I don't want people to stumble. I pray that should be our hearts. We become great builders for the Lord. Lord God, I speak your blessing. Lord, as we celebrate 17 years, awesome years of this church, truly you are the builder of this church. Lord, thank you that people labor, they work so hard. But Father, at the end of the day, we give all glory and praise to you. May you continue to build this church for the next 17 years and beyond. May you build into the lives of every marriage, of every person that's here, young and old alike. May you build their careers. May you give them the ability to make wealth. May you bless the works of their hands so that they could be blessed to be a blessing to this nation and to the rest of the world. Would you provide protection? Would you surround them with your favor as with a shield? May your grace abound in everything they do. May your hand of protection and grace be upon them as you have protected me even in the time when I had an accident, Lord. May the favor of God rest upon you, all of you. And may the Lord find joy in your lives. May he be pleased with your life as individuals, as a church. Lord, we give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people say a big, big amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.